I want to take a couple of minutes as we're nearing the end of our service just to share a little bit more about Jesus and specifically his encounter with two of his followers on the road to Emmaus. Before I get into the scripture, when I was thinking about this passage, I thought about when I was in college in Rochester, Roberts Wesleyan College, and we had a guest speaker come named Tony Campolo. And he was sharing a message, and he was getting into a little bit about just what the disciples might have been feeling on Good Friday. We remember as Good Friday because we're looking at this 2,000-plus years later. But for the early Christians who were following Jesus, to see that their friend, their master, their rabbi, their teacher had just been killed, it appeared that maybe this could have been a final defeat, that maybe the devil really had won. That he had the upper hand on God in some ways and had defeated Jesus, that death actually couldn't be overcome, and that our sin, unfortunately, was going to stay around, that there couldn't be actual freedom from that. And it appeared that way. And I remember when I was in college hearing Tony Campolo just share a little bit about this. He says, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And he kept saying this phrase over and over that just kind of stuck in my head. And it is Friday, right? But Sunday's coming, and today we're celebrating Sunday, specifically the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. But for the early followers, who are not looking at it from 2,000 years later, but looking at it on Friday night and then on Saturday, right in between Friday and Saturday, or Friday and Sunday, is a place that can be filled with despair, confusion, depression, uncertainty, anger, a whole bunch of emotions. Even though Jesus had said to his disciples multiple times, "I have to die, but 3 days later, I'll raise again." He shared this, but still, it's just so hard for them to comprehend that there's just such discouragement and loss and despair. I would probably submit that for those early followers, that was probably one of the greatest losses you could ever have, that God in human flesh who had come to bring redemption had died. And it seemed that was the final answer. But we know that's not the end of the story. And we know that there's hope. I want to take a moment just to talk to those this morning who are watching, that you're in a place that you can relate to. Despair, depression, sadness. Life right now, things are going pretty difficult for some of us. With COVID-19, the ripple effects, whether it's losing the loss of a loved one recently, maybe sickness, the impact of maybe the hours working, the finances, or maybe you're recently unemployed this past week. Family tensions have gone up. Marriages have been strained. Domestic abuse and violence has increased. There's a lot of things that are difficult and challenging during this time. And I want to take a couple minutes of what it looks like looking at the resurrected Jesus to move from despair to hope. And is that possible today in 2020? The early disciples, they knew what that felt like, and they were sad, and they were in despair. And we're going to see Jesus getting to have a conversation walking along a road with two followers who were in a place of sadness and probably disbelief, thinking that their beloved Savior, teacher, and rabbi had died and would not return. And so today's portion of text is from Luke 24:13-35, and I'll be reading that this morning, right from verse 13. So this is right after the resurrection story. Jill did a great job sharing about the women who were coming to the tomb and the angel saying that Jesus is not here. She explained that so well. So this is just right past that. So Jesus is not at the tomb. And then in the Gospel of Luke, it transitions to two followers who are on the road to Emmaus, a seven-mile journey. So verse 13, it says, "That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened." And just imagine for a moment, just to put yourself there, like all the things they would be discussing. The Lord and Savior has been killed on a cross, and now we're just going on a walk to Emmaus. Verse 15 says, "While they were talking and discussing together," this is so cool, "Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?' And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him." Verse 21 says, "But we had hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things had happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to a village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight." Talk about a pretty amazing moment. "They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed.'" And that's what we're celebrating today, New Hope Community Church and friends and guests. We are celebrating that the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you work through real people with real emotions, just like these two followers and through us today. We have a lot of different emotions, I'm sure, as we're watching this this morning or possibly a recording or listening in on the phone. There's a lot going on, Lord. But Jesus, thank you that you are near and you are here. And God, I pray that you would speak to us today what you would have us receive. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take a couple more moments just to share a couple things from this passage. So here's three steps for moving from despair to hope this April in 2020. So here's two followers. They're thinking, it's all over. It's 3 days later. We still haven't seen Jesus. And the one they were hoping to redeem Israel is now dead. And I'm sure for some of us this morning, have you ever had your hope in something and it didn't come through? You're hoping for that breakthrough financially or that health miracle, or that relationship to restore, and it hasn't come through on the timetable or maybe even in the way we're hoping for. And when that hope is deferred, it makes like the heart sick and just kind of goes down to the soul and can just be so demoralizing and depression. Despair can just be rooted so deeply. But Jesus comes and visits his two followers on the 7-mile journey. For those who live in Potsdam, it's like 3/4 on the way over to Canton going on a walk. But this wasn't like a walk going up Azure Mountain or going somewhere where you're excited to get to the top. It's like a walk leaving a wake or a funeral or driving home, I guess would be more modern day. And just the sorrow and the sadness. That conversations are never really exciting. It's usually just loss and grief. So the first thing I want to talk about, first step for moving from despair to hope, is Jesus is still with you even when you don't see him. Jesus came to his two followers and he asked questions, and Jesus knows the answer. He asked these questions of, you know, what's going on? And in different translations, it says they're sad. Other translations say they're downcast. He sees where they're at. And he's like, tell me, what's going on? Like, what happened? And they share about it. They share about what their perspective is, what their circumstances are. But Jesus is with them in that moment, and he cares to hear how they are feeling and how they are doing. For you watching this morning or this recording later, know that Jesus is with you today, even in this difficult and challenging and uncertain times. He is for you. He is resurrected. He is alive. Hope is here, and he has a name. His name is Jesus. Sometimes we just don't see what God is doing, but that doesn't mean he's not there providing. When my wife Crystal and I, when we were married, we were on our honeymoon, and it was a really awesome honeymoon, but we also faced some challenges. And we were having one day that we were going through some discouragement, I'd say probably some despair, and we were getting in a taxi, and we're just going for a drive, and just kind of felt like, oh, there's just some days have been really awesome, some days have been a little bit more challenging. This was a more challenging day. And I remember so clearly that our taxi driver, his name was Paul. And so he was driving us, and we were listening to some cool music, and we're just kind of just bobbing our head and everything. And I noticed on his dashboard, there's this really, really thick, like, old Bible, like one that looks like someone's just read, like, to pieces, like, day, or minute by minute. And so I just kind of wasn't really looking to go anywhere too deep. I was just kind of like, hey, is that a Bible? And this guy turned around with a big grin as he's still driving this way, looking at us. And he said, yeah, it is a Bible. He's like, are you guys Christians? And I'm like, yeah, you know, yeah, we are Christians. And he's like, fantastic. He's like, I'm going to turn off the music. He's like, now we can talk about Jesus. I'm no kidding. We had like a 20 to 30 minute ride. This guy, without ever opening a Bible, went Old Testament and New Testament and shared pretty much every scripture I've ever heard without reading it anywhere. Like verbatim, chapter after chapter of every scripture that foretells and points to and then talks about Jesus. My wife, Crystal, and I, we were just shocked and amazed. It was like drinking from like a hose or something, like as far as like spiritually being built up. We entered that taxi cab sad and in despair. And man, we left there supercharged and encouraged. When we got to our hotel, we just went to our hotel room. We dropped on our knees and we started praying. It was only till a little bit later after that, and obviously I can't prove this, but I really felt like the Lord was showing me, he's like, that wasn't just any other guy. I really felt like the God blessed us with an angel in disguise, a messenger of God. I've never heard of anyone share scripture the way this guy did without ever looking. And then when I asked him what church he went to, he's like, I like to visit churches in Africa, India, sometimes in the U.S., and just see how the different saints are just glorifying Jesus. I believe that God sent an angel to bless Crystal and I. We did not realize it at the time, but looking back, I'm like, it just has a lot more clarity. And Hebrews actually says that you can entertain angels unaware. They're messengers to build up. And Crystal and I were so built up, and our hearts were just burning with a passion for Jesus after hearing God's word. For those early followers, they're in a place much worse of despair and sadness, and Jesus starts sharing scripture, except it's not talking about someone else like Paul was. Jesus is talking about himself and how he's the fulfillment for this, and they were going to realize that later. So first thing, first step, Jesus is still with you even when you don't see him. Second step for moving from despair to hope, trust Jesus' words over what your circumstances are telling you. Jesus made it clear to his disciples, at least in words, that I'm going to die and 3 days later I'm going to raise again. This is God's plan. It's a hard plan, but it's for the redemption of all people, both past, present, and future. For God so loved the world that he would give his one and only Son, that none should perish but have everlasting life in him. This was the plan. But circumstances had now been speaking to the followers of Christ louder than Jesus' words. That can happen for you and for me today, that circumstances around us can be talking about the difficulties and challenges, and we just kind of tune that in. We just, if it's like a radio station, if you're still doing radios, or maybe Pandora, Spotify, modernize that, it's like you tuned into the circumstances of despair. But may we change that frequency or change that channel to tune into, what does Jesus want to say in this situation? What did Jesus say before this situation? What did Jesus say after this situation? The earlier followers were tuning in the circumstances, but Jesus' words were true and his promises were true. Anything God promises, he always backs up and he delivers on. And once again, Jesus did rise from the dead. God raised him miraculously from the dead. And here he is having a conversation. So from step number two, trust Jesus' words over what your circumstances are telling you. And the first step is Jesus is still with you, even when you don't see him. The third step I want to mention is Jesus' death and resurrection was to bring us from despair to hope, both in this life and all eternity. He has come to bring life and life to the fullest. When Jesus was with his disciples, it's recorded in John 14. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was making a way where no one else could ever make a way. He was coming to die for your sins and my sins on the cross, but not just to stay dead and take the penalty, but to be raised from the dead, that if Jesus has died for our sins and our sins have died with him, we are now forgiven and made new. We are now forgiven of all the things we've done wrong, past, present, and future, if you're in Christ. But because God has raised him from the dead, we now have the promise of aligning with Jesus in a resurrected life. I hope this is speaking to someone this morning. I'm getting excited just talking about Jesus, that we have resurrected life because our Savior has been raised from the dead. That means we can have life now and life forever with him, life to the full. Jesus is longing for a relationship with you. I'm not talking about religion this morning. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus, not joining a church or a small group. I'm talking about just a relationship with Jesus. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you committed your life to him? I love how Jesus, he's just so practical. When he sat down with his two followers and they got to the location they were going, he got some bread. He broke it. He blessed it. Then he broke it. And then their eyes were open. Jesus had done this miraculous kind of things before. One time he's teaching to a lot of people, thousands of people, and they were hungry. He took some fish and some bread. He blessed it. He broke it and just distributed it. And it's just like, wow, God, you are amazing. Jesus longs to have an intimate relationship with all of his creation. And that's you this morning as you're watching. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him, and he with me." God is such a relational God. He wants that personal, intimate relationship with you. The only thing that's standing in the way of that is our brokenness and our sin. God is such a holy and magnificent God that he cannot be around sin. And the Bible calls it the things we've done wrong, according to God's word. But Jesus is a propitiation, the sacrifice, the atonement for our sin, so we can have access to God. We can have new life with Jesus, resurrected life both now and forevermore. What the disciples may have been thinking about the devil winning and death conquering and sin sustaining, Jesus has actually proven that he conquered death, he defeated the devil himself, and he has forgiven us from our sins on the cross and the resurrection. So what would have been an opportunity for great despair, those have now all been turned around for places of triumph and victory because it's Jesus' work on the cross. I want to share a story as I'm closing before we get to our song. There's a man named John Newton. You might know this story in about 1770 or so. He was born to a family with a Christian mom that would teach him about the Bible, and he grew up reading or hearing scripture. His mom would pray for him. You pray for John that John would just know God in a personal way, and she even felt like the Lord said that he would be a minister one day. Well, John's mom died when he was only 7, and that just greatly impacted him. His dad wasn't following after God, and John started living a life just really rebellion and just kind of just rebelling against any authority. He was in the Royal Navy and Britain and Europe, and he rebelled against his commanders. He was thrown in a servant on a slave trading ship, and he almost came to a place where they died almost one time when the storm came up. He cried out to God, "God, save me," and God did save them. And he had a moment where he saw God as a savior from his circumstance, but he hadn't committed it to as a savior of his heart. And so after that moment of salvation from circumstances, he thought, well, I know a little bit about the slave trade. He actually got back on another ship. He actually became a slave trader off the coast of West Africa. He didn't know God in a personal way. He just was calling on him kind of like a genie. God, can you save me from a moment? But he hadn't given his life to Christ yet. It was only until years after being a slave trader and realizing and encountering God in just a powerful way that he gave his life to Jesus. And it was so neat, and just to encourage moms who are praying for their kids this morning to know the love of Jesus. His mom had been praying for John when he was younger, before she passed away, that he become a minister. He led a wild life. He even would say it was a wretched life, one of literally taking other humans and enslaving them and then selling them. And he called himself a wretch, and that prayer was answered. So moms and dads, let's keep praying for our kids to know the love of Jesus, because he did become a minister. He started preaching. He started writing songs or hymns. And one of the songs that he wrote is one that's probably known by all of us. It's actually one where he talks about being saved by God's amazing grace, that this wretch of a man, a slave trader, one who abused authority and lived his own life, was radically saved by Jesus. God's salvation is for everyone. Whether you think, I really haven't done a lot wrong, or maybe you're like, I've done and messed up my whole life. Know that Jesus gave his life so you can have life both now and forevermore. We're going to take a moment to listen to a song, this song specifically that John Newton wrote, Amazing Grace. And I encourage you, let this word just seep into your heart and mind. And if you have not yet given your life to Jesus, you can call on the name of God right from your living room or your bedroom or wherever you're listening to this and ask God, Lord, would you be my Lord and Savior? God, would you forgive me of my sins? And God, I want to start a new life with you today. That can happen right now. So take a moment just to talk with the Lord and just listen as we look at this song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Praise God, New Hope Community Church, friends, guests this morning. What amazing God we serve, that he has the power to transform lives like John Newton, like mine, and like yours this morning. I mentioned earlier that Tony Campolo said, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It might feel like Friday, but Sunday's already here. Our Lord and Savior is risen. We're not waiting for a Savior to be risen from the dead. He is risen over 2,000 years ago, with 500 eyewitnesses reporting that Christ is risen. And where's he at, you might ask? He's ascended to heaven. He's interceding and praying for you at the right hand of the Father, right from heaven. So if you're wondering, does anyone know my situation? Does anyone know the difficulty I'm going through? Does anyone know the despair and depression, the confusion, the thoughts that keep me up at night? Know that Christ himself, your Savior, my Savior, is praying for you 24/7 from heaven. And he promises to be with us in every moment. This moment, on April 12, 2020, he is with you. He is not forsaking you. He is greater than anything we can ever face. And that truly gives us the opportunity and the ability, not on our strength, but his strength, to move from despair to hope this morning. I want to read a benediction and then a couple announcements before we wrap up the service. Hebrews 13:20 says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you. And I lost the rest of my verse, but with everything you probably need. If there's any ways we can be supporting you and praying for you, please let us know. Our pastors and staff, we're equipped to be able to care and listen and help provide counsel as well as people within the church body. But if you don't have someone just to connect with, I encourage you, send us an email, office@newhopepotsdam.org. Send us a direct message on Facebook. Let us know if you need someone to talk to. Maybe you're in crisis right now. Maybe your marriage is strained or your family. You really just need someone to help you through that. We love to help you with that. Also, if there's practical needs, you're in need of resources, or maybe there's groceries, we have a limited supply of face masks that we're able to have at different times. Just let us know. You can contact us at the office. We want to be able to pray with you, but also if we can help in practical ways to support one another during this time, please connect with us. So have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. And if you were here, I'm sure you'd be saying, he is risen indeed. God bless. We look forward to connecting with you next week.